So first of all, actually, why don't we do this first? How many of you is the first time opening Mathematica today with me? Okay, good. So basically, awesome. Yay! Whoa! Okay. Yeah, thank you very much. I will...
Set it up now for you
all. Yeah. I'm terrified with how many wares he's holding. But I'm sure he will get this done. Yes. And the rest of you have some experience of Mathematica, and I'm sure some of you use Mathematica daily because you have some project going on. Okay, so motivation. I hope you are motivated to learn Mathematica. My motivation is very clear. So when I met my PhD supervisor, Liam, within the first couple meetings, he asked me, do you use Mathematica or MATLAB? I was like, Mathematica. He was like, good. So that's my motivation. Make sure that your program language align with your supervisor, or whatever he says good to. And well, for you guys, there's actually a very much coming up near future motivation is your lecturer, Pedro Vieira. He's very enthusiastic of Mathematica, and he says he will use it in the course, who is teaching statistical physics. So that's coming up in a month. And well, the projector is setting up, and my computer is falling asleep. Well, you listen to me talking about other things, which we're not officially starting the Mathematica yet. If you somehow feel like you also want that cute style sheet with colorful lines there, and your input block would turn some interesting color, there is an empty worksheet on the wiki. It's just that from Mathematica 8 onward, they decide to get rid of all the beautiful style sheets. So the only way you can get a cute one is to inherit it from somebody who has. So that one is from Pedro teaching it a few years ago. So the other thing, okay, we're done with motivation. What I want to say now, okay, the most important thing about Mathematica, at least from my personal experience, is that to admit that sometimes when your code doesn't work, the most important thing to do is to turn it off and on again. No, I'm very serious. Because when you're using Mathematica for a project, normally you will ask her to do a lot of evaluation, and finally you get a code that says, okay, this is what I'm happy with. But when you run it, she has the memory. She remembers everything. She has the memory of all the thousands of input you have given her. And they might conflict. Actually, we'll see this throughout the course. I was like, why doesn't it work? Oh, I have defined that and I forgot. But the Mathematica doesn't. And so your expectation might deviate from what she outputs. Or sometimes, actually, I couldn't figure out why she just doesn't work. So the most important thing, I hope you all have a copy of Mathematica open, is to click evaluate and go down to the last. It says quit kernel. And then there is a local. So you press the button, Mathematica will forget everything. And start with fresh memory, and you enter a block of code. And if there it still doesn't work out, well, it's called a debugging. Then there's some issue. But that's the first thing you should try, as with any electronics. Okay, most important thing. And also, I think it's really, really important, is Mathematica is a program. Sometimes, I think the people who are from the organization, people who really love her, would not tell you this. But this program randomly just crashed. So she just randomly turned herself down. and just the whole program disappeared. And you were like, what? So please make sure you're saving your progress, like very promptly, especially before you write a fresh piece of code and want to, and think that it might take a while, or you don't know what's going on exactly, or you think you know what's going on, but actually maybe not. But just save it as I go. I frequently forget this, and then of course I'll just get hit on the head whenever she reminds me. Says, "Haha, I'm not there anymore." For example, when I was writing tutorial 2, section 2, when you get to see the tutorial, you know that how much it hurts me when she crashed there. And the only thing I do, I was pressing help. Oh, which is then also very important. This is, so please, to be quite honest, I think you can, you know, learn this language without me. You can just learn everything from Mathematica's super, super powerful help, also known as Document Center. You can either ask a function directly, but I can't quite show you without the screen. But if you just press the help, you see the first two lines are very important. It says Wolfram documentation. And it says find the selected function. Yeah, last time I pressed this button, and my mathematics decided to quit on me. This time it doesn't. So it's a very colorful layout, which actually dizzy me. But anyway, so when we get here, we could see find a function, say, I don't know, exponential. And it tells you, explains what it does. It says give the exponential of x. Very helpful.
Oh, it crashed.
Thank you, see? If you don't save your work, you know, every few lines, they will just disappear. So actually, I'm so not happy with this in-program help, this documentation, because sometimes they just crash the program. So I actually go to the website, which is simple. You just go to the website, says Documentation Center. It will pull up. It will pull up the Document Center, and then you can ask whatever function you're interested in. But the nice part, really nice part about Mathematica, it's like a Amazon shopping website. If you go down below the demonstration of exponential, it has this nice thing called a see also. It says, if you are interested in exponential, we also have these functions to sell you. So you literally just find something you are interested in, and then it's like a web, and then you get familiar with all of it. So actually, I think there is a function. Hey, Robert. That's interesting. It seems like there's a time traveling happening, because that's actually not on my computer right now.
That must be on your computer.
That's the background of the computer, but not the...
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Help function. So you will see me using help a lot, because there are 6,000 built-in functions. So to remember all of them on all their argument list is ridiculous. At some point, they just like, I need to use this function. I'll go to the Document Center to figure out how to use it. Okay, so help. And at this point, I think I do need a projector. So we'll bring the end of the class to the front of the class. I'll explain what we're going to do this afternoon. I hope it's pretty cool. So this is called a deck of cards. I think this is universal in the world. But since I don't know, the thing we're going to do is from when I was in China, so I hope it's not a completely trivial that there's a game called Blackjack. I don't know that before I came outside China. So I'll just explain how Blackjack works in real life. And we're going to program that in the afternoon, in the tutorial, together, with a layer of instructions and hints. And if you think that everything I said today is very basic, which could well be if you have used Mathematica for a while, because it's planned for people who haven't seen it before, then you can start with today, this morning's instruction, which is just explaining what is blackjack. So blackjack is a game in casino. Okay, I'm not making any personal comments about casinos. If you are my mentee, you might see a pattern, but hi, I'm Leo. Anyway, so blackjack is a dealer against a bunch of players. The players are not a cooperative. They are all single person. So we'll just consider them. We'll just consider the simple case. There's one dealer and one player. So the game starts with each of the people. Ah, hey, thank you very much. I don't think I can teach the rest of the class without the projector. But since we already start, let's explain how this game works. Is that... Even you will be the player. So she will be representative of all of you, and she will get two cards. And it's open. It's public knowledge of everybody, including the dealer. Because I'm basically an AI. I don't have a free will. That's why we can write a Mathematica for it, right? So I have one card hidden and one card up. The game of blackjack is you want to get as close to 21 as possible without going over it. Once you're over, you just lose. Okay, so then she look at her cards and make a decision if she wants to get another card. Her card is 6 and 7. The suit doesn't matter. Except you are going to write a beautiful deck this afternoon that it does show you the suit, just to show you it's a real deck. Okay, so at a point of 13, I'm not an expert of playing blackjack. At the point of 13, should you get another card or not? Yeah, okay. Then she gets another card. Oh no, that's 22. at this point, I think dealer doesn't have to play, right? If the player gets over 21. All right, but anyway, I'll explain how dealer works. Dealer has 11, I guess dealer gets more cards. And dealer gets another 9, which is at 20. So how dealer works is dealer always hit at 16 or below and stand at 17 or above. So that's what we're going to do with the programming, is to write a program such that the dealer will automatically draw cards from the deck until it hits one of those conditions. Also, there is a subtlety about a blackjack is one can be freewheelly chosen to be 1 or 11, as people's wish. I guess priority is not to bust it. Okay, so that's what we're going to do in the afternoon. And since now, maybe this is a great way to stand, we have Mathematica. So the first thing we learn about Mathematica is it is a calculator, a way to operate a calculator in Mathematica is press shift and enter. So there are a lot of hotkeys there are definitely enough hotkeys that I don't remember, want to remember, not even want to remember all of them. But this is the one everybody should remember, but because it's called evaluation. All right, you can evaluate the simple things like adding things together, or you can ask what's the exponential of I pi. And did I do something secret? And you don't know where the I and the pi come from? So there is another way, just write literally I pi with a blank in the middle indicating there is a multiplication between them. Okay, so there are a couple more things before we want to really get started. First of all, we don't want to end up with a mathematical notebook that has 1,000 inputs. We might reach there by the end of today. If not today, probably tomorrow. So the documentation and organization is important. So if you select format and the style, you can see title. And you can write a subtitle. It really doesn't matter if you have the same title as me. But it will be good if you have some title. And the good thing about this, we will see, is then we want to press, we can go to the format, style, section, and we'll call this section getting started before we start to learn about programming. We'll learn about a calculator and such. And you can even ask, what is exponential? MathMax says, exponential gives the exponential of some given argument. Okay, the nice part about this, you can actually collapse the section by double-click the cell, and then they disappeared. So if you, at the end of the day, if you only want to know what's the overview of what we learned, then you don't have to go into details until you want to. Okay, do everybody get a title and a section on their computer? Yeah? And the corresponding various of inputs, outputs. So the next thing we want to talk about is how to make nice input. Suppose this is one of the expressions you want to enter. So, of course, if this is the first time you're using Mathematica, you probably would enter it the way that you would just write the expression. Except alpha, they would automatically turn into it alpha. But if you don't, so basically that would be how you would input the first time. Then if you wanted to look standard, actually Mathematica has this right click convert to. It's already selected, but you select it again anyway, the standard form, then it becomes standard. Or if you get used to the hotkeys, which you can figure off the mount by select pilots, classroom assistant, and it sort of works as an equation editor. You can put equations in, and then, okay, so let me do it. Then it says you can enter a superscript on it. Or you can mouse over it, it says if you use Control 6, you can add a superscript to anything. And then the other one that is interesting is to get a division. Which probably is here. It's here. It's a division fraction that says use control slash that will give you the division line. And for all the Greek letters, you can use escape. Escape something plus escape. For example, A will give you alpha, B will give you beta, C will give you gamma, etc. And this you can also find in this classroom assistant. Somewhere here will give you the all the important Greek letter and other stuff.
Type settings?
Yeah, I'm trying to find the type settings. Oh, here, type settings. Ah, here are all the special symbols and characters. And if you are willing to, you can also input the music notes. Interest to learn any of the hotkeys of them, you can just mouse over it and they will tell you. But it's probably enough if we know how to get a superscript, which is Control 6, or whatever it says on your computer. And if it's Windows, it's probably Control 6. And then, so if you want to write a comment, you can always change the format style into text, which happens a lot. So I actually remember it's Alt 7. So if you press Alt 7 first, then you can write some comments, such as the escape will give you Greek letter. I can also say, do you know any function related to integers? Then it'll give you a bunch of functions you can choose. And so this is the cool thing, is that suppose I type something in Mathematica, and now I want to write a PDF note. You wonder how do you have to type it again in LaTeX? Actually, you don't. So there is a function called a text form. Of course, it doesn't work. Let's see why. Ah, because I spelled it wrong. So if you say text form, and both T and X is capitalized, and F, then it will turn into a text form that you can directly use in LaTeX. Okay. About how to input, how to execute a command, how to use some function. I probably should emphasize that the function all come with a square bracket. It's always a square bracket. Because the regular round one is interpreted as normally in mathematics. It's that to indicate a priority. So Mathematica says, let's use square brackets to indicate whatever inside the square bracket is the argument of the function in front of. Okay, so Mathematica is written in a way that all the built-in functions start with a capital letter. So normally I'll recommend you not to use your variables starting with capital letter, in case that it's something Mathematica have already defined. But on the other hand, I strongly recommend you not to name your variable as A1, A2, A3, A4, A5, etc. Because Mathematica is a very nice program, allow you to name your variable as long as possible. And you should take advantage of that to actually describe what does this variable do. Unless you know it's like an iterator. It does simple things that you say it in a loop, you know what it's doing. But if it's actually a physical variable that has important physics meaning, it's better to give him it a long name such that in the future, if somehow someone needs to look at the notebook, that someone, including myself, needs to look at my own notebook. A good naming system will make sure the refresh of memory comes back faster. Otherwise, you can say this is the velocity of particle 2. See, of course, if I print it in the text, it wouldn't complain at all. But you can name your variable very long. Just make sure you don't name it with a number first, because that always is interpreted as a multiplication. So start with a letter and keep going until you realize, okay, this is good enough for me to recognize this is the velocity of particle 2. And then the nice part is don't afraid of your names being too long as Mathematica tells you that, hey, you have this name already. Do you want to use it again? So it's not a typing a lot of things issue. She will remind you and auto-type the rest of the stuff. Okay, let's just say this doesn't work. So whenever I type a 2, it automatically decided it's multiplied by the rest of the stuff. So here's what Mathematica does. Maybe it's a good time to emphasize this. 2 is that, see this thing up blue? That means Mathematica hasn't got a definition yet. But suppose I want to write something, one of these things, like a number Q, then it's black already. Means Mathematica already know this thing is a function. So it has some sort of color coding, which could be important, which is important later on when we start to talk about a program. Is it a blue? Means it's something she doesn't know. Black is something she does know. Okay. So I think this is all I want to talk about to get started. Is how to do input, how to enter shift enter, how to organize our notebook into something written in, how to input, how to turn it into text if you want to, how to ask MathMega questions using question mark instead of going to the help, which sometimes crash for no reason. Do we have any question here? No question?
Yeah, how did you do a comment? How do you comment?
Comment, you use alt 7. So style, format style, and it says text. So that line would not be considered as a input. Also, you can also do inline comment. So if you don't want something as a code, you can always just say, put this cute thing around it. Says, I don't want this line currently. It's like a comment. It's equivalent to the percentage sign in the text, in the LaTeX, except you have to do it both the starting and the end. This happens all the time. You have a code a few lines long, and suddenly, well, often what happened to me is I always insert a line says print something to tell me, okay, the loop is going all right. And then I say, okay, it is going all right. And I'll just comment it out, says I don't want to see it. So this is actually very useful. That's a good question. How to comment in MathMedica? There are two kinds of comments. One of them is documentation. Okay, I should really say no. Don't name your variable like that. I'll do one. Well, good luck. Okay, so there is the comment that is not considered an input, which is just a documentation of the notebook. There is the comment which is within the notebook that to tell MathMega which line not to execute. All right. Now let's really get started. Okay. Yeah, is everybody catching up? Like, what I wanted, you have all the input in the MathMega together with me. You don't have to use the same example. If I say 2 + 3, if you input 15 + 69 to make sure MathMega works, go ahead. Nobody stops you. I'll use the simple ones so that you don't get distracted by the complicated computation or just tedious computation. But if you want to test something out, go ahead. And you have, if you didn't catch me up with the comment, the text, it's okay. I'll upload mine. And I'll compare the one I wrote today with the one I wrote days ago to make sure I made all the comments I want. And I'll upload the most complete comment. And you might be overwhelmed by how many comments I can make. But you are not going to be missing out what I say. Make sure you don't miss out what MathMega is doing. You want to follow what she is doing, which is the important bit. Okay, now let's really get started. Now I have important comments to make again. So what I want to learn, the first thing we want to learn about MathMega is about the equal signs. And the important comment is they are not all equal. So let's see. So let's make a new section about equal signs. And they are not all equal. And the first step of equal sign lets us do assignments. And the official name is called a set. It's like set something to something. Set delayed. And then the other one is called comparison. Okay. And I want to make yet a subsection. So these are all can be found in the formatted style sheet. Like the section is alt + 4 and alt + 5 will make the subsection, and then +6 will make the subsection. Okay, set, basically, you want to assign your variables some value. It's simple enough. And it literally just uses the equal sign. Okay. X becomes 2. So now Mathematica remembers, if you ask what's X plus 3, she knows it's 5. Yeah? Not a hard thing to understand. You said X equals 2, and you ask what's X plus 3. Mathematica knows. You ask what's x squared, and she also knows. And sometimes you might want to do series of, you want to set a equals 2, b equals 3, and you wonder what's a plus b. So you use this semicolon to indicate, I don't want to see the output. If every time you assign a variable some value, she just output the value back, you'll be like, okay, this is a lot too much output and it's silly. You use semicolon to suppress the output, and then you can make a different assignment that says b equals 3. You can write it in one line, in three lines, it's okay, she knows. Doesn't matter how many lines. And then at the end, you're like, I wonder what's the sum of them. Then you're like, hey, it's 5. Then you don't have to see the output you don't want. So whenever you're confident what you're doing and you don't want to see the output, particularly if you have expression has 1,000 terms, you probably don't want to see the output. Then you can use semicolon to suppress it. And actually, Mathematica also lets you to do this. So you can copy this whole line. It says, I decide to assign all this thing to a different variable, which is 5. So if you have a bracket, Mathematica will execute each individual line until you reach to the end, and then give the last assignment to the variable. Okay, makes sense? And you would make sure if this is what you want to do, you don't want to suppress the output. If you suppress the output, you ask what's D. It says you suppressed it. You are giving this suppressed output to variable D, which they say, you ask what is D? D is now. It's the suppressed output. So make sure if you want to do this series of assignments in a bracket and you only want the only thing that is the output is the last evaluation. And you definitely do not a semicolon there. This is useful when we build our deck of cards. During the draw card step, you might want to modify the deck. Otherwise, you'll just keep drawing the first card. All right, so that's assignments to variables. And now we're going to quickly move on to assignments to functions. All right, now I'm confident I'll define a function called my square x equals x square and suppress the output and ask what's my squared 5. Okay. What do you think of this output? Give 15 seconds of thought. I define a function. Says it should be x square. What would be my function? acting on fight. Yeah? What do we hope? Is it give me 25? Let's see what the Mathematica gave me. Okay. Now let's call it my first attempt. It gave me the same thing I asked. She says, I have no idea what did you do. Why? Well, so this is the important bit about defining a function, unless that's actually true what one. So second attempt is that it needs to be a pattern. So whenever you need to define a function, what is in the square bracket is something come with an underscore. That means whenever it has an argument, it'll compare to this underscore guy. It comes a name such that I can use this argument on the right. It basically says my square 2 acting on something, which is the argument, should give me argument square. So whenever you define a function, it normally has an underscore, unless that's what you want. I really want to define this function at that specific point equals a value. Okay, now let me ask my question again. Mathematica, what is my square at 5? Can somebody tell me the answer now? Well, we know what we hope. We hope it's 25. Let's give 15 seconds thought on this. What do you think the answer is?
4.
It's not 25, right?
We defined x is 2 this.
Huh? Yes.
We defined x is 2.
Yes, that's very good. You spotted. Well, of course, I should ask 2. It says it's 4. Because I already defined x to be 2. Nice spot. That x has been previously defined to be 2, hence that my square anything will give me 4. To solve this problem, the quickest way to fix it is that, I'll just use some variable that I haven't defined yet. Yeah? Say this is my square 3, and see how my square 3 perform. Yeah, very good. You spotted that for my square 2, I hope you can notice the color. You should definitely notice the color on your laptop. Is that my square 2, the x is black, because you have previously defined it to be 2. And my square 3, y is actually blue. Says that, that's a new variable that you could use. All right, this time it actually works. Yeah. Okay. There are several other ways could also work. And here is a cute way. Says that I can still use x as long as I use this. So it's a different equal sign, and that is known as the set delay. Says x is just a dummy variable, and do not evaluate the right hand side because I say so. Literally, that column in the morning, in before the equal sign says, do not evaluate until you actually get an argument. So this one would work even if you use x, because you say this time x is green. Green says that actually I don't have a value until I'm given one. And this one would work. Okay. I'm tired of using 5. I'll use something. And indeed, I gave you something square. And there is yet A third way to fix the problem is that you use this equals dot to say, well, I'm done with x, and I'm going to erase all your memory about x. And this would work too. Because after you execute this equals dot, she forgets about x, and he's just doing x squared, and then he's doing anything squared. Okay? So you can use set delay to say, don't evaluate until I give you argument. Or you can always make sure your argument is cleared, is erased, and set a variable. Then you can definitely use it. Or you can just somehow magically remember what a variable you haven't used and use that one. That's all options. Yeah? Do we all feel confident about making a function? Any questions here? No? Yes?
Are we going to go over how to make longer functions that aren't just a single line?
Longer function meaning it has several. Well, we'll make one this afternoon. Okay. Yeah. Like the one drawing cards, it's a few line function. It has different things to execute, but you don't want to see the output. You just want to actually, like the example from the afternoon is draw a card. While you draw the card, you want to modify the card. Well, you want to draw a card, keep this card because you're going to use it later to evaluate the value, but you also make the deck shorter. You never want to draw a card and don't modify the deck. So you actually, yeah, we're going to make longer function. So longer function, it's basically like this long assignment. It's like this one, except it takes something as an input. So for example, we have to make a function draw cards. So you want to draw one card or two cards. Two cards is to set up, and then draw one card is later on. So what you do actually depends on the argument. So it basically turned that thing into a longer function. But in this lecture, probably not. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow. Yep.
Is there a way to scope the code somehow else, like using parentheses so that the variables I define?
Yep. So that we'll cover tomorrow. We'll cover tomorrow on scoping, so on block, module, and how to make a package. It's really fancy. Then you can give it to your collaborators, colleagues, and just save somewhere. Yep. We'll do there is a whole section on fancy functions, like the pure anomalous function, whatever, and how to scope the notebook tomorrow. If you don't want to make the package, I think you can literally just cut a section of your code and then save it as a Wolfram language file, and save it somewhere else, and use get. It should load and run. So we'll definitely cover that tomorrow. Okay. I see you guys don't have the how to assign simple function questions. I have questions. All right, so now let's say this function is defined to be that. And then I define what's x. And now I wonder what's my okay. So without execute yourself, because that will definitely give you the correct answer. because my question is, what's the output of these three lines? Because, sorry, that's my simple mistake.
Yeah.
It should be an underscore. Okay, now you'd think it's 14. No, this is actually, no. Okay, sorry. So now X is cleared. It's actually not a 14.
But you.
No. We ask what mathematica know about G. She says, I know about G. G is 9 plus whatever the argument. So that function is defined before. So mathematica says, okay, you define function g to be x plus 9. I remembered. Now you give a variable to x. She's not going to go back to update her memory. Says, oh, x now is 5. So that's not how she works. If when you are defining the function, it already has a value, then she will evaluate it and make the function 14. But if at the point the function is defined, it doesn't have a value, then it doesn't matter. That's what she remembered the function g is. It always is that function. If you want to change your variable later, she's not gonna redo that. So if I evaluate this function now, it will actually give me 14 because x equals 5 is defined before the function is evaluated. So the order matters. So when you use the set, not set delayed, you have to remember to define the function before you give variable a value. Okay, makes sense? So in this case, of course, the recommendation is to use set delayed. Then it doesn't matter when you want to give x a value, you can go give it beforehand, after, nobody cares because now it's a dummy variable. Yeah. So now then you say, should I always use set delay? Maybe. But here is another example. Okay, we'll give 15 seconds to a minute to digest what we learned about the set and the set delay. Okay, so now look at the random numbers. So the random numbers generates a random number between 0 and 1. And then you can do things about this random number, and you can add a 2 to it or something. Now suppose I decide to use set delay. It will give me a random number. And now I say, let me take my random number plus 2. What do I get? Some other random number plus 2. So here is a situation you really don't want to use a set delay. Because my idea is generate a random number and do something about it. And if you set a delay, every time you do it, it's a fresh random number. So be cautious about them. And another case you don't want to use set delayed is suppose your right-hand set is a really long expression to simplify. Then you probably want them to simplify right away instead of do it every time you use the function. But set delayed is safer, aside from the random number issue. And sometimes it will slow down your program because you ask her explicitly not to evaluate. Okay. So now we'll go over comparison. I'll just write something up here. Set that delayed set is equal sign, set delayed is that. Comparison mathematics decide to use double equal sign. So you can ask, is 2 equals 3? Mathematica says, no, of course not. And I'm just clearing some variables, and you ask Mathematica, is A equals B? Mathematica says, well, I don't know. I'll let you know that I don't know by returning your input. And you can make something called a strong comparison is that, just tell me if they look exactly the same. Mathematica says, well, they don't, by using 3 equal sign. But the common use would be the double equal sign. You always want to make some comparisons as if the result equals what I desired, then you can do something and do something else. So for example, you could ask Mathematica, is this expression equals this expression? And Mathematica would say, true, this is actually not what I wanted, because she actually knows what's x. If she doesn't know x, she'll be like, I'll rearrange your thing. And then, but I don't know they are equal or not. So when you ask Mathematica to do such a judgment, she doesn't automatically simplify your expression. So you actually have to put a simplifier around it, then she says, oh, those two expressions are actually equal. So that's comparison, just trying to emphasize you need to use double equal sign. For example, if I forgot to use the double equal sign that says the single equal sign, you ask the same simple question, says, what I want you to do is compare 2 to 3. And the Mathematica says, well, the result is 3. Because that's what is on the right-hand side. Okay, so with the knowledge of equal sign, we can make our own absolute function. Says if x is bigger than equals than 0, return x, other one return minus x, then this would work like an absolute function. So the if line says, do the comparison state in the first entry. If it evaluated to be true, return, execute whatever is in the second slot. If it's false, then you execute the last entry. So that's comparison. So as I emphasized, that the equal signs are not equal. In particular, there is the equal signs built up for us to define variables and functions. And then there's the equal signs for us to compare. And if you mess this up, there could be bad consequences as laid out here. Yeah? Don't mess up your equal signs. The consequence might be fatal. Yeah? So that's the code. And there is an equal sign missing. All right. So now there is small thing we probably should get out of the way called a substitution. It says I have a simple expression. And now I want to set x equals 4. Then she will do it. A substitution is very common. Most common is probably when you solve something. Let's say if I solve x squared equals 1. Oh, then you see the mathematician provide all her solution in the form of substitution. So if you want to make any use of the solution of Mathematica, you have to use the slash dot to substitute some. Okay, then you can also have an expression like this. And then you ask it to substitute 1 plus x goes to x. Goes to 1. And you're like, but I want you to do it a lot of times because there is still 1 plus x around. So instead of says, do it again, so what I could do is say, do it again because I saw it. And then you say, okay, let's do it again. And Mathematica says that's a silly way of doing things. You can just say double slash means do it as many times as you see fit. So it's just you have substitution and you have double slash substitution. And there is also a substitution delay. Normally for substitution, yeah, if things that use as your judgment, if the substitution didn't work out, you could use the thing called the delay, which is replace that by this. So the normal arrow is just minus and the big sign. And if you replace that minus sign by a column, it's the substitution delay. For this case, I don't think it matters. So the next thing, we want to handle more than one object. So far, we have done is really having one object and gave it some value. At the best, we did is we have two objects and compare them. But let's try to cover more objects by building a list. See, Mathematica is out of brackets. So now it's the time to use the curly bracket. And I noticed some of the variables are not cleared, so I'm going to clear them. This will generate me a list. The cool thing about the list is that suppose I have a function, and then I say, you do that. Then, of course, Mathematica says, OK, you want this function to act on the list. And you're like, no, that's not what I want. I want the function to act on every individual element of the list. So there is a special thing to do. It's called a slash at. If you use the slash at instead of the square bracket, it actually knows what you want is to use your function to act on individual lists. So that makes things much faster. You make a function, and then you just apply it to all the things you wanted to act on. Yeah? And then you can do something simple things with lists. You can measure its length. But sometimes you want to do that. And then you want to say, what's the first entry of my list? If you have a list, you probably sometimes want to extract some elements out of the list. So you can do that. Or you can do this. Says extract all the elements between 4 and 2. Or you can do this. Says, I just wanted the second and the fourth entry, and I don't care about the third. So that's all sorts you can do. You have a list, then you can just extract the elements out of them. And if you want to be fancy, you can put escape signs between your around your square brackets. Because it's almost square brackets is reserved for functions. Would not extract elements. Want to make sure, remind yourself about that. You can do and change them into fancy square brackets. So you want to extract the elements of a list. You might want to, say, take the first entry of the list. I'll take the last two entry of the list. Now you can say I want to drop the first entry of the list. So these are some simple manipulations you can do with your list. You can extract some element, drop some. The list is head, drop the tail, take some of the head, take some of the tail. That's all things you can do. Okay, now let's move on to two lists. Okay. One list. And then, two lists. What do we want to do with two lists? Okay, let me make two lists first. Here's ABC. And then there's 1, 2, 3. And now you can do things like, you can add them up. You add the entry up. You can multiply them together, which is not what you want sometimes because they literally multiply each entry together. And if you want them to do actually a scalar product, she knows how to do it. And then one important thing about multiple list is sometimes you want to change it back to one list. Then you can do that. You can just join them. You have a bunch of small lists, and you can make a huge list of. Well, According to my naming system, the next one should be 3 list, 4 list, 5 list. But that would be silly. Because I'm sure if you know how to handle 2 lists, you are good. It's the philosophy of 3 is infinity thing. So now we're looking at a complex list. This list is like the first one, except it has some curly bracket around the second and third argument. So actually, it's a list of element A, D, and then another list. Okay? So in order to figure out what does this supposed mean, or actually, whenever you wonder what's in Mathematica's head, you want to know her thought about it. Here's a cute thing called a tree form. Then tree form says, your complex list is a list. And it has 3 arguments, which is A, D, and the list, and the B. And the other list has element of B and the C. Okay, this is very interesting. It looks like a small human. Okay, why don't we actually make it? Right. We're doing this. Okay, now it looks much better. How do we extract the hand? Yeah, operation, right? We take this human, and then I say I want the first entry. Then you extract the hand. So how do we extract the foot? Sorry, the human disappeared. Here. How do I extract the food? Then you have to go deeper. So first you want the second entry. And out of the second entry, well, you can pick either one, but you want the first entry. So first I extract the second entry, then I extract the first thing, which gives me a foot. And a mathematician says, well, to save you some square brackets, you can do 2 and 1. That is how mathematician understands she will extract the second element and then the first element of whatever she extracts. Okay. Well, let's see, this is our complex list that we're trying to work with. And suppose you don't like the structure anymore, then you can just do flatten. Flatten lets you to open all the lists. You have a list of a bunch of small lists, flattens, open all the lists, everything is equal. It's like if you take this tree form, flatten will give you all the leaves. So, I guess another note is I think this works. Right, even if it's a function, like the human is already a function. But even if it's a function, it will still, if you use the extracting operation, you will still get the body parts of it. Okay, then you say, I want to change the head of the human into fancy head. So that's an option also you can do about a list is that you can replace the head. Remember here before it's head? Then if you say now I want a different head, then it becomes a fancy head. My time is up. Okay. So I'll write something about the loops. I'll just do one of them example. It says that suppose when I'm in high school and I'm being very not well behaved, apparently. And my teacher ask me to write a note that I should write, I will not throw paper planes in class 100 times to make sure I don't do it. Well, if you have a mathematica, you can ask a mathematica to do it. So that's what the loop's for. When you want to do the same operation repeatedly again and again and again and again. We will encounter the other loop operation called a while, which would include the test. It says if the test is true, then execute the rest. So this one is there's no test. I just want to do something repeat. And if you want to include the test, you want to use while. And whenever you use a loop that has a test, you always want it to be evaluated to be true. So at least it gets executed once, but you want to, in the body, change something that it will change to be false at some point so that you will get out of the loop. Running an infinite loop is definitely a good way to crush her. Well, I want to end the class with an infinite loop joke, but then you will never heard at the end of it. So let me just end here. I'll see you this afternoon, but you already know what we're going to do. You will have some detailed instructions. Oh, you can do the epic difficulty. Based on the information I have already provided, you can already do the write the notebook. All right. Unless it's not clear, the class is over. You can ask me any questions. You can just bring your computer to me. Say this cell doesn't execute, or it doesn't execute to whatever I thought it would, then we can figure out together.